Thank you guys for hanging in. I know it's a long week, early in the morning. Most of you probably, this is your first session. You missed the 8 o'clock session, like me. So thank you guys for coming out. So before you spend too much time here, I just want to kind of level set before we even get into the presentation. So when I submitted this session, I said tabular security. And if I go to the actual slide, it says tabular security. It does not say tabular security deep dive. All right, I did not put that on there. But they said I had so many demos that it has to be a deep dive. So if you, right, if you are, I don't like slides. I'm just not very good with presenting slides. If you are really knowledgeable about tabular models, if you've set up dynamic security and done some extensive row filtering, this is probably not the session for you. Okay, because that's where we're going. It's a slow progression through tabular security, from server-level security all the way down to creating a lightweight extended event trace with a little reporting services dashboard so you can monitor activity. And in the middle, we'll show some filters and things like that. But I don't want you to waste your time, right? So if you've got some experience, you might want to go find another session because I don't, you know, you can go watch this video later if you think you missed something. I'm just saying. All right. So everybody's staying. So when you fill out my eval, don't say. Don't say, this guy sucked, right? Don't do that because I just warned you. All right. I just wanted to lay it out. All right. So here's the objectives. Not going to read them. You guys can read. This is the agenda, which I think is more important. And this should help. See, somebody left. He was like, yeah, I got this stuff. I'm leaving. Here's the agenda. And so I'll give you a few minutes to digest that. And if you want to leave after that, we'll give you a few seconds to leave. All right. Okay. Nasty little word, Kerberos. I spelled it wrong like 20 times. Okay. So this session was born from customer events. Every time I visited a customer, they created these wonderful tabular models, and the security does not exist. And so I start making notes of all the things that I encountered with my customers, and I built a presentation out of it. These are phenomenal resources. If you don't use books online, people complain about some of the inaccuracies in it. Just tell them it's wrong. They'll fix it. Books online is great. There's a white paper about tabular security that I use, written by Kathy Dumas. And the guy who presented before me, Marco and Alberto and Chris Webb wrote this book on tabular semantic models. If you've never designed a semantic model and you want to get started, that book is phenomenal. I actually reference it, use it throughout my session here. Don't go and download the stuff off of this OneDrive yet. I'm going to take every demo that you see, every tabular model, everything that I've done, every spreadsheet. I'm going to zip it up and put it in there. So just hang on to that link. And then maybe Monday morning, if you want to get all this, everything that I have, it's going to be on that SkyDrive. And somebody asked me, and I don't know how many of you guys attended the BI Power Hour, right? All the stuff that I did there. Somebody actually wanted the app, so I'm actually going to zip it up and put it up there too if you want it. Yes. Absolutely. So I'm going to give it away. So if you only thing that I ask is if you make this stuff better, just re-upload it to the SkyDrive so we can all get the good stuff, right? Okay. So who am I? That's my Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. I tweet every now and then. That's the latest book I wrote, which is really old because they just released SQL Server 2014. And that's where I blog. I haven't blogged in a really, really long time. And I've just been working with SQL Server a really long time. And so I'm a technical specialist for Microsoft. I work for U.S. Education. That's my vertical. And I work on everything that's SQL Server, not just business intelligence, and big data and Azure. So I do the database engine, business intelligence, Azure. Some things I know more about than others, right? You can't know everything. Okay, so let's just get into the presentation. So the tabular model is much, much different than the multidimensional model. You can secure a lot of things in the multidimensional model. Tabular model, not so much. So the things that you mainly can secure is a server instance, the database and the roles. And so the very first time I did this presentation, there was a guy in the back. He goes, "You could secure tables too." Like, well, I can kind of hide them and make them not accessible, but they still can be queried, right? And so maybe. I didn't move it over to that side yet. I'm not convinced. But he argued with me, and I just let him argue. Then I took him out for a beer. And then he agreed. You can't do columns, cells, and perspectives. Okay, you just can't do it yet. So already, the first demo. And of course, my laptop went to sleep. There we go. Six. Okay. So, how many of you guys have never worked with tabular models before? A few people. And what about multidimensional? Not worked with multidimensional. Wow. So the learning curve for multidimensional is 3 million years. Right? Right? I think somebody up here said he'd been writing MDX for 15 years. I apologize to him. I feel sorry for this guy. The tabular model, it takes about 2 weeks, in my opinion. It takes about 2 weeks to kind of understand all the concepts and the things that go along with it. And I mean, you can have a model going in probably about, after you spend those 2 weeks kind of diving into it, you can have a model up and probably in production in a couple of days, as long as you have a good, you know, underlying data model. So with multidimensional and tabular, you can secure the server. And so the first time I did this demo, I got a little feedback. It was like, that's too simple of a demo. But I found out this week that a lot of people don't realize this. So when you connect to Management Studio and you connect to a Tabular instance, you see the little icon there that tells me that it's a Tabular instance. You right-click on it, you go to Properties, click on Security. If I add someone here, what access do they have? All of it. Everything. I went to one of my customers. I was blown away. I went to a customer, and guess who was in there? Everyone. I was like, you got to be kidding me. It's like everybody has full access to do anything they want, and they were trying to figure out why were cubes being dropped. Well, I mean, okay? So this is, for me, this is 500 level. All right, and so I put it at 100. If you see the demo slide, it says 100 level. But one lady told me, no, Patrick, this is 300 level for some people because they don't realize how detrimental it is to put people right here. Because it's easy. Just put them there and they have access. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be lazy. Right? I know you want to get back to Breaking Bad or whatever you watch on Netflix. I know you do. That's what I want to do. But don't do it. All right, first demo down. 100 level. So when you start building your tabular model and you connect to the data source and you choose data and you preview that data, which account is it using? I'm sorry? Your own account. When you process and pull the data in, which account is it using? Server side. That impersonated account. I asked that question to some very savvy people. I got the exact opposite answer. Okay? You have to be really careful when you're developing the tabular model to make sure that those accounts are at least have the same permissions. Because if you don't, you can get some very unexpected results when you're doing your design as compared when it goes to production. How many of you guys didn't know this? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. Everybody knew this. All right, I'm going to take this out of my slide deck because everybody knows this. I believe you guys. Just saying. Okay? So I put this in here just you know, for people that are watching or somebody that just downloads, it's a lot of verbiage. I'm not going to read all that. You know, but when you're authoring, just know what you're doing. Know the accounts that you're using. Know the accounts you're setting impersonation. I figured her name. She's sitting in the back. Her and I are working on some access problems that they're encountering at their organization. Next demo. So I think I set this one 200 level, but let's see. So I'm just going to open Data Tools. Have you guys downloaded the latest Data Tools for, I think it's 2012? I like it. I like the how you can choose the gray theme here. So I'm going to choose Analysis Services, Import from Tabular. For you that you guys that have never done Tabular models before, these three options at the bottom, they're brand new to 2012. They didn't exist in 2008 or 2. Okay, so I'm going to say Analysis Services Tabular. Click OK. Give it a great name, Tabular Project 1. Now, when I first start doing this, the very first time I saw this, it's like, what do I do now? It's a big gray screen. I got a solution. What do I do? It's not very intuitive. So I've actually expressed this to the product team. Tell me something. Say, hey, import some data, man. Do something. So you got to go way up here to this little bitty icon that we're supposed to know to click. You're supposed to know this. You got to click that, and then it'll open up, right? It's so little tiny thing. You click that, and if you've done anything with Power Pivot, this should look very familiar to you. Same list that you get in Power Pivot. Choose what you want. So watch this. So I have the profiler running over here, and I created a trace, and this trace template will be in there for you because we want to see who's connected. So it's going to be in that zip file that you'll get, and you'll be able to add it to your profiler. By the way, if you guys didn't know, the SQL Server Profiler is on the deprecated list. So if you use it a lot for the database engine, you better start using something else. Use extended events. For analysis services, it's actually not on the deprecated list. Why? Right? Extended events. SQL Trace is very heavy. It's a very intrusive process. So extended events, it's much lighter. I actually use extended events at the end of this session because I want to be cool like everybody else. Click Run. So let's see who's connected when we go through this process. So I'm going to just snap this over here. Hang on 1 second. Snap that on that side. OK, so let's import some data. So we're going to click Next. We're going to go to SQL 01. Choose a database. Let's just choose Banner. Click Next. And now I'm going to use the service account. Don't use the service account. I'm using it. For the demo, why shouldn't you use a service account? I'm sorry? Elevated permissions. It'll probably have more permissions than your account that you're running as in the client. Don't use a service account. Some things, you know, we think common sense. When you give this to a developer who's doing this, they don't think that way. But I'm going to use a service account. Click Next. And then I'm just going to choose this. Now, when I click Preview and Filter, which account will I see in my trace? I click Preview and Filter, not the service account. I'm actually going to see I'm logged on as administrator. I'm going to see who I'm logged on as. So whatever permissions, if I don't have proper permissions to that underlying relational data source, I'm not going to be able to preview and filter. Does that make sense? Yes. Well, I mean, it's just a client. Yeah, if I could answer that, that's a good question. And I'll take it down, and I'll add it to the presentation. That's a good question. I don't know why they did it that way. I can only assume it's because it's an application that's running on your desktop, and it's running under your current credentials. When you impersonate it, that's the actual account that's going to process and pull in that data. And so I don't want to use my account to process and pull data. So when you create that connection, that impersonation account is what's used to pull the data in. So watch this. Let me show you something. So I'm going to click OK. And then I'm going to click Finish. Fail. Right? I meant to do that. Click Error Details. See what account it's running as? The service account. When it goes to pull that data down into the data model, it doesn't use your user context. It uses the context of that impersonated account, which I said service account. He doesn't have any access to my relational database. That service account doesn't know anything about my SQL Server. He's responsible for running that analysis services database engine. Okay? Does that make sense? You guys see it? See? Okay. I'm going to say yes. So we're going to click close. Now we're going to do this properly. Really quickly. Wait, I'm just going to use, here we go, yeah. Really properly. Almost messed up my next demo. Click next. And I'm going to use myself. Really tough password. Click next. Get the same table. Go ahead and finish. Process. And there we go. Right? And so now you can see it's using me. Because I said impersonate. When you process this data, use this impersonation account. Impersonate Patrick. Because he has permissions. Okay? So now I've pulled the data in. If I went back to my model, close here, and if I go to table properties, it queries the database. Which account does it use? Pop quiz. I'm sorry? It just uses my account. Anything that you do within the client, within data tools, it uses your account. When you start processing data, it uses that impersonation account. I will not tell you how many times I go in and I see the impersonated account because they're trying to match them up. They put their user account. That person gets fired. That account gets disabled. What happens to the processing of the cube? Dead. Analysis services is terrible. Nah. The problem's between the chair and the keyboard. I'm just saying. It's not analysis services. All right. Okay. All right, cool. Same thing with partitioning. If you go to partitioning, it runs as you, as that account. Anything you do in the client runs as your account. Okay, let's stop the profiler a little bit for now. And let's close this, and let's go back over to the slides. All right, I'd say that's 200 level. Yes, ma'am. So the question is, what permissions does the impersonated account need? It needs to have the ability to read from that data source. So if you just need one table, grant select on that table, or make him a database reader if you want to be more generic and give him full access. But any tables that he's going to be responsible for processing, he needs to be able to read that table. That's a good question. Did that answer your question? Okay, let's talk afterwards. Okay. I think that was 200. You guys be the judge, though. The next thing, how does that happen? Have you ever seen that before, designing the Tableau model? That is the worst thing ever if you're going to the exact same source. I'm at a loss for words. I saw one, it was 22 connections to the exact same. There was one connection for each table. Because they would bring one in, model it, bring another one in, model it, bring another one in, model it, but they would create a new connection every time. And so the lady, she was looking at me, she goes, well, how did I do that? And her boss was like, how did she do that? Like, right? It was a beautiful model. You know, she had great DAX, nice formatted. Just a lot of, and it takes forever to process, but it needs to establish that connection 22 times. Okay, so it's got to connect 22 times. And so I showed her how to fix it. And so let me show you this. When you get ready to import some new data into your model, there's a little icon, another very small icon up here. Oh, sorry. Thank you. There's a very small icon up there called Existing Connections. That little fellow right there. You click that if you want to reuse the exact same connection string. If I go to mine now, I have two. One for the broken one and one for the one that works. And this is what happens, right? So I'm going to delete this one. So now I only have one. Then I'm going to, instead of clicking Existing Connections, this is what she did. This, SQL 01, chose the same database, chose a different table. Oh, hang on. Click Next. And I think I put my password wrong. Let it time out. And walk through the process of importing the data again. And that created multiple connections. Connection, 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 after connection. Oh, wrong domain. Perfect. There we go. And we'll choose another table, like term, and click Finish. And it'll import it into my model. Now, if I go to my existing connections, I have two. Now, when I deploy this out, right-click deploy. Hang on 1 second. Let's change this to the right model. I don't know why. Yep. If we deploy this out, every time it deploys that object, it has to connect to the corresponding data connection. So watch this. One, two. So when you're processing, what do you think happens when you're processing? The exact same thing. Okay? 22 times. Is something wrong with analysis services? No, it's not. All right. Okay. 200 level, I think. Make sense? All right. You only need one. What about built-in administrators? SQL Server, they fixed it. The database engine, right? They fixed it with the database engine. Did they fix it with analysis services? Wrong. When you install it, set it up, anybody that's part of the administrator group has control. Can you turn it off? Does anybody know how to turn it off? Yeah, on the screen, right? So you could turn it off, and you should turn it off, because those guys that set up the servers, the network admins and all those guys, they shouldn't be in control of your analysis server, right? But they want to be, because they're the network admins. And so it's really easy. Go out to the properties of the server. Oh, you can't see. There we go. Go to general. And so when you scroll through this list, and so this is just something I ran into. It's like, hey, I don't see that option. How do I make it available? There's an advanced, just like SQL Server. Show all, scroll down, all the way down to security. This guy right here. See where it says true for that line, built-in administrators? Let's make this smaller so it's a little closer together. See right there, this. Turn it to false. So those built-in administrators will not have administrative access to your tabular models. So maybe I'm a Nazi, a data Nazi. But I don't want everybody to have access to my data. And so, yes, sir.
So that begs the other question. When you lock them out, do you get an account that's locked up? At the SQL Server, you can always restart it with an AND switch.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I gotta write that one down. So his question was, you know, with SQL Server, you have that dedicated admin connection that you can use if you get locked out, if something happens. With analysis services, I don't know if that is available. And if I lock those guys out, what happens? How do I get back in? Right? Is that the question? Yep. I don't know. You might. Yeah. But there should be a feature like that. Yeah. That's just. All right. That's a good one. I love it. Perfect. Good question. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that one. And I'm okay saying I don't know. I'm not going to make anything up. I can make something up. All right. Okay. But I think that's something that if you are an administrator of an analysis server, I think we've talked about 3-4 things so far. And for long-time veteran AS people, it's common knowledge, right? But there's a lot of people moving into this space because of the Tableau model. Would you guys agree? Yeah. And this is not common knowledge. Most people will never ever go to this page. I don't need to see this. Just like SQL Server, you never go look at this show advanced options, max DOP, and stuff like that. It just works, right? This is very important. You got to dig a little, right? And that's why I put this session together, because there's so many people going into this area. So many people saying, multidimensional is too hard. Tabular is really easy, except for this guy on the front row. He loves multidimensional. Okay. Yes? Well, if they're in a different domain and they don't trust and it can't see, and I'm no network AD guy, but I'm assuming it doesn't know those accounts exist anymore.
Right.
So it can't start.
So that if you switch your computer to a different domain, join another domain, and you block the account, the other one.
Yeah.
You block all your stuff.
If I'm running local analysis services, I usually run it as the built-in managed accounts that it comes with, because I never know where I'm going to be. Yeah, that's a good point. So that's another good thing I'll add to this presentation. Okay. All right. So you can see on the slide, I put this in 200-300. I'm not quite sure. So you can kind of see why I don't know what to level this session. So put that in your comments. If you think this is 100 level, say this is 100 level stuff. If you think it's 2, if you think it's 3, please let me know. All right, row filters. Now we're going to get into some stuff that I really like talking about. How many of you guys have put row filters into a Tableau model? Not you. All right, cool. What happened to me personally, I was working on a proof of concept, and we started out with one row filter, then they wanted another one. Then they wanted another one. Then they wanted another one. It's like, what? Can't we just come up with some standard of what needs to be seen? It's very difficult to maintain this. It was like this and this or this, this and this or this, this and this or this. How do you handle that, right? So there's some things you need to consider. Row filters only work when applied to the one table. And so only is a very strong word, okay? Let's say they really work. You'll get some, they'll do some stuff if they're on the many side. You guys know one to many, right? Okay. On the one, it really cascades through. On the many, it doesn't go back up to the ones that have a one relationship. I'm going to show you a demo of this. If you apply it to the many side, then it needs to also be on both sides. You have to adopt the many-to-many methodology, that pattern. Have anybody implemented many-to-many inside of their Tableau models? Not that bad. It's faster than multidimensional. Just letting you know, okay? When more than one filter is applied, it works. It's inclusive. It's for both of them, okay? And direct query, right? Direct query does not support row filters. You guys know what direct query is? Not everybody, huh? It's okay. I didn't know at one point. Right. You know what direct query is? She doesn't know. She's the only person telling the truth. Okay. He made it dark. I feel like it's raining outside. Okay. So they can absolutely affect table relationships. They can absolutely affect calculated columns, and they can absolutely affect hierarchies. What if you built common hierarchy in AdventureWorks? Category, subcategory, product. And I filtered out something in product that filters out an entire category. What happens to my hierarchy? Man, it's in bad shape. Little things like that we never ever think about. So I think it's time for a demo. Right, my laptop went to sleep again. I'm learning that I need to turn the power setting so my laptop doesn't go to sleep. All right, so I have in this project, so I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about this project because you'll get a copy of this. Inside of this project, there are several tabular models, and I try to be as descriptive as possible with the content. So when you go and download this, you'll know what demo, what spreadsheet, what scripts corresponds to it, okay? And so you can see I have one for custom data, one for direct query, multiple filters, one-to-many permissions table, and just basic row filters, okay? And so this is going to be zipped up. And then there's one for an SSRS project, and I'm almost done with it. That's why I say don't go. I'm almost done with the little dashboard, and you'll see that at the end. When I finish it up, I just decided to do that this morning. So when I finish it up, I'll dump it out there so you can get a copy of it. So first, let's just look at a basic row filter. Okay. So here's a tabular model. And I think most of these use AdventureWorks except for the one at the end. It's actual custom proof of concept because I want to show you some real world because somebody's going to say, he showed AdventureWorks. Yes, I'm going to show AdventureWorks, but at the end, you'll actually see a real world solution that I did for a customer. So to add permissions, you click on another very small icon at the top for roles. And then what I did was, if you don't know DAX, then you may get a little lost here. DAX is data analytic expressions. It's the expression language that we use inside of the tabular model. And so I just added a row filter to product and said, give me all the products where the color does not equal to NA. Product has a many-to-one relationship with subcategory, which has a many-to-one relationship with category. If I'm in a pivot table and I add category as a filter, will it properly filter out? Maybe, maybe not. We'll find out, okay? If I add it to subcategory, will it properly filter out? Maybe, maybe not. We'll find out. So let me show you a spreadsheet that I created to kind of illustrate this. So I have these two pivot tables. One is connected to just the tabular model. The other, on the other hand, if I go to data and I go to connections and I go to the properties of this connection and the definition, was that too fast? Should I back up a little bit? Nope, that was fine. Okay. And if you look inside of my connection string, I overwrote it and I added a little attribute called roles. Okay? Because I want to use that role that I created that filters all the colors of NA out. And you could do this. You could do this. Just go to that connection string, semicolon, roles equal the name of your role that you've put into your model, okay? So I overwrote that. And now here, that's what this pivot table is connected to. And you'll notice a slight variance, a rather large variance, in the sales amount between accessories in each one. One has filters, one has no filter. If I expand this out, you'll see bike racks. Over here, you only see helmets and hydration packs. That's because bike racks and bike stands, they're all color NA. Okay, so one of them I'm not using the role, the other I'm using the role. What I've done is I took the subcategory from the subcategories table. If I expand it out here, bike racks, it's supposed to be there because there's no filter, correct? But if I go to the filters here, what do you think I'll see? Nobody wants to say anything, but everybody knows about roll. All right, expand it out. Bike racks. How confused are my end users going to be? And they're going to be upset, right? You're going to say, "What? Wait a minute. I gave you a requirement, and you didn't meet the requirement." Yes, sir. So it actually does work with the totals part, because there's a many, see how confusing it is, right? There's a many, it's a one, the product has a one-to-many relationship with the fact table. And so that's why, if I cancel this out, you see this value and that value, they don't correspond. It's actually helping the calculation because there's a one-to-many relationship. Yeah.
They can't quite figure out what part of the
I don't know. This guy's got good questions. You give me your address, I'm gonna send you a book. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with all these people going, just between you and I, this is stuff we're gonna talk about. So how do you fix that? You educate them. Don't use a filter. That's not enough, because they're going to use a filter, right? Of course they are. They're the experts in Excel. Not me, not you. They know more than you do, because they're IT. Right? Get rid of the filter. If I get rid of the filter here, what if I come to product category and add it as a slicer? Subcategory, is that going to work? Look at there. It's still there, but it's not enabled. Maybe they could use slicers. Just hide it. Okay, the true solution, just hide that product category table. That's what I've done. So let me show you what I did. Inside of the model, but you may need it for something else. Okay, that could be a challenge. If I just hide it, then how do I get to subcategory? In the model, what I did was, I went to my product table and I added a calculated column for category. I added a calculated column for a subcategory. And then I went into the diagram view and I created a hierarchy, which is really easy to do. And then if I hide the product subcategory in the product category table, I go back to my Excel spreadsheet. I go and use my, see my hierarchy's already there, and it actually exposes what I want to see properly. And then if I went here and I added it as a slicer, you can't add it as a filter because it's in the rows, but if you're using Power View, right, I'm staying away from Power View because I've seen Power View every day this week. And so, and I love Power View, don't get me wrong, but I decided to do no Power, there is a little bit of Power View in my presentation, but not a whole bunch. So I'm doing traditional Excel on purpose. I'm doing this purposely. Okay, any questions? What do you guys think? 200, 300? 100? 300? 300. All right.
Send me a book too.
I'll get the product team to send you a book. All right. So I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure about this one, okay? Dynamic security. Wait, I'm not done. Hang on. Oh, I got 35 minutes. Hang on. Before I go to dynamic security, I want to show you something else. What if, I'm going to skip one thing, but it's going to be in the project because I want to make sure I get to some other content here. On a one-to-many relationship, it just works. And so I'll show you this quickly in the spreadsheet. Let me close this one. Don't want to save it. Let me show, let me do this right here. In a one-to-many relationship, if I just go to add subcategory, so what I have is I have a filter in this project, in the one-to-many project. Where are you? Let's close this. And so I have a filter in the one-to-many product. Project that filters out something way out in the categories table. But the categories table has a one-to-many relationship with subcategory, which has a one-to-many relationship with product, which has a one-to-many relationship with the fact table. It should just all work. And it does, okay? And so I have a filter here on it and say filter out bikes. I don't care about bikes, this particular group of people. And if I come here to my one-to-many table, and you can see I only have, I said only bikes. I didn't filter out bikes. I'm only looking at bikes, sorry. And so you can see I only have bikes. And if I add the product hierarchy to this, which I think is already added, yep, it only shows bikes. So you can see I have my product hierarchy. If I add the product subcategory from the subcategory in the filter, expand it out, you only see bikes. Okay? If I get rid of this, just because I'm curious, because I didn't do it, I wrote it down, but I didn't actually do it. If I get rid of this and add the product name here, let's see what I get. All bikes. All bikes. So if you put your filter all the way out in your snowflake, in your data warehouse, on the end of those one-to-many, not one-to-many, all the way out, it'll cascade all the way down back to the fact table. Okay? 200, 300. Two. All right. Thank you. You guys are my testing ground. Okay. Now, I'm going to skip one thing because I want to show you this. So what if you have a model that looks, what if you have, and you guys, somebody in the back saying they did lots of row filters. So I want to talk about this right here. What if you had this? Look at this. This is real. I converted it to AdventureWorks, but the actual DAX is a real customer scenario. And so basically, they had this and this, or this and this, or this and this about 16 times, 13, 16 times, okay? Over and over and over again, because they needed some very specific requirements. And so the lady, she was blown away. The man who she managed, who actually wrote all this code, was about to quit. Okay, he'd had enough. He's like, every day somebody wants something else. Every day somebody needs a new filter on the Tableau model. He goes, somebody's got to show me how to fix it. And so somehow I ended up on a call with them. And I said, give me a little bit. I've never encountered this before. Let me figure out how to fix this, okay? And so what you get in Excel is, so what they were trying to do, they would create the pivot table, and then on the rows and columns, they would just go and say, I only want to see black and red, and I only want to see 2005 and 2007. But it didn't actually not show the things they didn't want them to see. So you can see how it shows, I want to see this and this. I want to see 2005 and red. I don't care about 2005 and black. They shouldn't see that. I want to see 2007 and black. I mean, yeah, but not in red. See what I mean? But these were the requirements. And so how do you fix that? So the guy came up with this elegant DAX, and it actually did the second sheet, multiple filters and rows. Okay, it did that for them, and it worked. But he kept daisy chaining these together. And I saw this, and I was like, I don't know how you fix this, man. I have no idea. And so I was reading this book that Alberto and those guys wrote, I talked about it at the beginning, and they had a concept called a permissions table. You guys heard of the permissions table before? It was really interesting. And so let me jump my slides ahead just so I don't lose pace. So dynamic security, permissions is part of one of the dynamic securities. And so this is what was happening to this guy, right? Finally, he was on his way out the door. He was like, man, I quit. I can't keep managing this. And so got different methods, and we're going to talk about, so we're getting into dynamic security now. So we're going to talk about the permissions table, username, and custom data, okay? How many of you guys have used custom data before? You have. Wow. It's like, what's custom data? Most people, what's custom data? All right. And so each one of these, and you can read those. I'm not going to read what they are. I'm going to show you exactly what they do. And so all of this is further enhanced because of the double hop. When I've, you tell me. We've already seen the end of it. I'm going to show you how you don't need Kerberos anymore. You don't need Kerberos. Who doesn't believe me? Right? For, in regards to what we're talking about right now. Let me put that asterisk there. Whew. Forgot about that. Right? In regards to going from SharePoint to connect to the cube, from going from SharePoint to connect to SQL Server. Oh, right? Can you do it? I'm going to show you. You can. Right? You just got to be careful. This is where I think we're going into 300. Okay? This is where I think 300 truly begins. It's just not enough content for an entire session. And so I added all the other stuff. Okay. A Kerberos. Has anybody seen the white paper on configuring Kerberos? Yeah, right? And then I say, we don't need Kerberos. We'll just deal with it. We put everything on one machine. Right? It's the same one. Most people try to avoid Kerberos. I avoided Kerberos until about 5 years ago. And I was at a customer site, and I had no choice. Effective username. How many of you guys heard of effective username before? Right? And so the way effective username works is that when you have to give the account that's running that service, that application pool, reporting services, Excel services, you have to make it an administrator on your analysis services. And so I said this to a group of network guys, and they go, oh, that's a security hole. I'm like, man, if they get that far, you got bigger problems. So don't tell me about that being a security hole, okay? Give it permissions. What it does is it establishes the connection with that account, and then it says, all right, I've made the connection. Revert over to the connected user. Now I don't need Kerberos anymore for analysis services connections, all right? Custom data. Custom data, you can add different things and build your own middle tier. I've actually seen people implement this directly inside of like Excel, but I can go and override the connection string if it's in there. So don't use custom data if you're gonna use in some application that exposes the connection string, because I can easily go and override it. Anybody with any sense of connection strings will realize that pretty quickly, okay? My preference is the effective username. Best practice, you know, if you wanna have a really elegant and scalable solution, probably Kerberos, okay? But the effective username does work, and I'm going to show you how it works. So for Excel services, you have to go into the central administration for SharePoint and check a little box to make it use the effective username. For PowerView, you don't have to do anything. It just works, okay? For reporting services, now this is really misleading. That says set execution context to this account. Which account? That account that I put in that box right there? That's what I think it means, right? So if you're in reporting services and you create a connection, that option's not there. If you're in Report Builder, it says impersonate the logon user. Inside of SharePoint, it says set execution context to this account. I never use that checkbox. I don't want to set, it's already set to that account. This is kind of redundant, right? It doesn't mean that. It means impersonate the logon user. That's exactly what that means. Yeah. Right?
Won't that also play in however that particular site security?
Yes. Yeah, so it absolutely depends on how that SharePoint site or the web server you're coming from is configured. Yeah. Okay. So let's do a demo. So this is where I think I was confident at putting 300 here because I mentioned Kerberos. I thought about putting 500, But I said, that may be going too far, okay? So let's go over to my machine. It really locked out this time. Come on. Sorry about that. All right. So the first one I want to talk about is this permissions table. So the permissions table, and I do believe I have a model here for it. Yep. Come on. Is it already open? Oh, here it goes. So the permissions table, you actually have to modify the schema a little bit, just like you're doing row-level security, okay? And you guys have done row-level security will know exactly what I'm talking about. You create a table that contains a couple of things. And this is in their book, right? I stole this directly out of their book, but it helped my customers. So I put it in this presentation. I actually told them, I said, you want to stay, you're going to see some stuff out of your book. If you've got a problem with that, let me know. So you got one column for the role. When you create your role, you use the exact same name. Then you put the multiple combinations in this table, okay? So if I insert another role with that role for black in 2005, when I go to Excel and refresh it, it'll work. It'll work automatically for me. If I click here and go into that role, and so remember at the beginning when we talked about securing a table, you can hide a table, and you can put false right there, and it makes it not visible. But it's still queryable, right? I still can. So that role can't, they can't get it. They can't get to it. But I can still query it if I need to, okay? And then there's a little DAX expression here where I do use contains. So I'm saying it contains the permission table on the role. So now it's like, this is where I say it's like T-SQL, because now I'm joining up. I'm saying for that permission equals the name of this permission from that permission table. Come on. I should have just put this in Management Studio. Let's see. This is a great piece of software right here. And then where color is related and where year is related. So I'm just joining, right? Contain this, where these are equal, where these are equal, where these are equal. And you would just keep going if you had multiple variations of this, okay? And then now, if I wanted to, all I would do is, if I wanted to add more, and you guys will get this script. I have a script here called custom. Custom data objects. So what I do is, I create this table, I added some data, I create another table. So there's two tables. One table contains the value pairs, and then the other table contains a list. A unique list of all your users. I tried to get around that. I couldn't get the DAX to work. If you figure out how to get the DAX to work without having that unique table, like you can with the dynamic security, let me know. Shoot me an email. I couldn't get it to work instead of having two tables. And then there's a one-to-many relationship. That custom data value is like a bridge table between your actual sales territory, in this case, that actual dimension, and the security table, okay? And so, if I added more data, for example, right now, the only thing in my custom data values table, so I'll show you what's in both of those tables. Oh, wrong database. There we go. So I only have one. He only has access to one. Okay? I'm actually in the wrong demo. I'm talking about custom data. I should be talking about permissions table. Same thing, though. Same concept. Sorry. Here we go. So if I add... I went to the wrong custom data. I jumped ahead. I apologize. The permissions table is just one table, actually. The custom data is two. Sorry. You guys were shaking. That's made me think about it. I jumped ahead. Sorry. So, Jedi mind trick. You did not see that script a few minutes ago. You'll see it in a few minutes. I apologize. Nobody caught that. You guys were like, wait a minute. All right. Somebody should have told me. What is this guy doing? The permissions table. It's just one table. All right. I added some data. If I wanted to give it some more, I just insert, and then I have a piece of XAML somewhere that I'll run to process it and add that data to it. So tabular processing, if you've ever done it, It's kind of fickle. You got to be careful. It doesn't always work. It doesn't have all the same processing options as the multidimensional one. That's a whole session within itself, okay? And so I'm going to go ahead and process this. I think I added the data, didn't I? Yep. I'm going to hit F5. And then I'm going to hit F5 again. There we go. And then I'm going to go out to my permissions table. And I had already refreshed it. But before, it only showed what we saw before, the black and the red. And then after I refreshed the data, you would have saw NA automatically added to it. Okay? So permissions table is really dynamic. So instead of him going to the role, modifying the role, adding another daisy chain, adding another or, you just insert into that table, process that table, and then it just works. Sorry, I may have confused some people, but you guys get it? Did we get back on track there? Okay. 200, 300? With the misdirection. Don't kill my evaluation too much because of that, all right? Okay, now we're back on track. So we're going to go out to the next one, which is the one that I jumped way ahead to, which is the custom data one. And then we'll talk about dynamic security. So the custom data, middle tier application. It is not meant when you can expose a connection string. I think I've said that already. The DAX for it is a little bit complicated, to be honest with you. So there's a couple of things you need to set. The very first thing, there is a custom data function. On the custom data table, you need to set it. We've already talked about the tables and stuff. I won't go back. You guys remember there's two tables, one with a distinct list of users and one with users and their the data value that we want to allow them to see. For example, I'm using sales territories, but it could be departments or products or whatever. And so first you need to set that. The next thing you need to do, this DAX is kind of involved. And if you go out and read the white paper that I reference in this in my PowerPoint slide, it explains this down. It explains actually how the DAX runs. So go take a look at it. Also in that white paper, they talk about two ways to implement dynamic row-level security. And one, she says, is faster than the other one. I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about the white paper, but after the white paper was written, they introduced a lookup function to DAX that makes dynamic security so much more easier. Okay? And I actually have that method in my framework here, in my demos. So this DAX, and I wish they would put a maximize window on this thing. So this DAX right here is a little bit more involved. You're actually calculating the value of the territories that they can actually see, okay? And it uses a summarize. So I'm getting a distinct value list by using the values, and then I'm using the summarize to go out and do some calculations, okay? Once I get that done, I have a little application that I did not write that I found in that white paper. And basically the way the application works is in the code of the application, wow, I have a lot of windows open. In the code of the application, it appends a username to the connection string, okay? And so watch this. So initially in this application, I loaded the application up and it didn't have this use Windows auth little button right there, okay? It just had a drop-down list, and you chose the user from the drop-down list. Well, that's not so secure, right? Because I can choose which context I want to run as. But even more importantly, if you actually have this implemented, and I say use Windows auth and get sales territory, it gets all the sales territories, right? If I don't use Windows auth, and I go say use somebody that has access who may not have as much access as administrator, but if they somehow log on as administrator, watch this. It still gives me the exact same data set. So this, if they, you know, get in using some other account with higher credentials, they still can access it with this custom data. You have to make sure that I have a little batch file right here that I wrote that runs the application as, golly, I messed that up. Really messed that up. You might know how to pass the password also. It runs the app. Now you can see I'm logged on as John Doe, right? And if I use Windows Alt and get my sales territory, it's broken, okay? Because John Doe does not have access to the queue. If I go out to Management Studio, that was not supposed to happen, by the way. I was messing with the demo this morning. If I go out and go to properties, this actually leads into the next demo, and go to roles and go to membership and add John Doe. Hang on. Don't you love this part? There we go. Now he has permissions. This leads to another question, and that's the last part of the demonstration, actually, after we talk about custom data. Now he has access, and he can get to the data. I'm going to leave that. That's pretty good. I like that. I'm going to leave that in the demo just like that. All right. Is this a good pace? Am I talking too fast? Okay. All right. Custom data. Now, the one that I really like a lot is dynamic security. And so we talked about custom data and permission table, but most people don't want to go and explicitly grant each individual access to, right, access to what they need. I hate it. I loathe it. I lost this section of hair because of that. Okay? And so that you can actually implement dynamic security in your model. And so I was working with a school up on the East Coast, and they wanted to limit everything, I think, by college for the deans, for a given dean. And so somebody had went through and wrote a lot of DACs and said, if it's this dean, do this. If it's this dean, do that. And it was all hard-coded. And I was like, holy smokes. You got a lot of time on your hand. Imagine how many. Yeah, a lot of time, man. You are definitely not watching any Netflix these days. Right? And so I showed him a very, very simple approach to the dynamic security that I think is simple. And you guys tell me what you think. So I went into the model. Okay. And I added, let's just go here. I may need to open this again. Yep. It's all right. Shouldn't take very long. So while that's opening, shouldn't take too long. We went into the model and we added a single table. One single table into the model, which I think I already have in Management Studio. And let's see. That's not it. Maybe not. That's all right. It's open. It should be open now. Yep, perfect. And so I added a single table. And in this single table, I have domain slash user. Then I have a list of all the colleges, the corresponding college. And you just repeat this. And so the common question is, how is this table managed? How does the data get in this table? After I showed them this, they actually got the same guy who wrote all the DACs to use this thing called Lightspeed, it's part of Visual Studio, to put a little app on top of this table, and he met somebody in some department. He showed them how to use it to manage who had access to these colleges. So as people were promoted and moved on, and then I have a guy up in Arizona, ASU, who actually tapped into LDAP with SQL Server Integration Services and used that to manage it. So there is a required place, somebody. There's a data governor, right? Somebody's got to manage access, what's in the contents of this table. It's just not magic. It's just not going to magically appear. And so one lady said there was a group. They said, well, Cognos does it. I said, well, show me. And they showed me a table that looked like this. And I said, well, who put the data there? Well, Cognos did it. No. If Cognos can do it, man. Some really, really good artificial intelligence going on. But anyway, the code for this is really straightforward. So let me show you. How many of you guys have written a join in T-SQL before? Everybody has written a join in T-SQL. It's like saying, who uses Excel, right? We all use Excel. The first thing you want to do is make sure you hide that table and set false to security. But then the script It's really easy. So you want to go get whatever value you put in that column, colleges, departments, products, you want to go get it, okay? And then you use the scalar lookup function. You say, hey, I'm going to use lookup to get the allowed colleges, join to security name, and then there's a scalar function called username that returns domain slash username. Then, so that's where he stopped initially. It's like, wait, you're not going to get anything back because you still have to match on the actual colleges or departments. And then you say security equals to the college. And that's it. Pretty straightforward. And I actually have, and I hope I'm still connected to the internet, we created some reports for them. And so this is not NDA data, just some all gobbled up, obfuscated data. And so you can see on this site, you can't actually see, but I'm logged in as Leslie Rich, my demo account, on this site, and she can see very little data on these reports. But if I go to the admin person, I've got 8 minutes left. So if I go to the admin person, you can see that the report has lots more data there. And so how did I do that without setting up Kerberos? How did SharePoint, of all things, right, magically make this work? In reporting services, like I said earlier, if you click that little checkbox after you deploy your report out, you cannot do this in SSRS when you design the data connection. Go ahead. It's reporting services. So if you have SharePoint 2010 with reporting services 2012, you can do it. You need reporting services 2012. That is a very good question. I need to add that to the deck. Give me your address so I can mail your book after the thing. All right, it's an old book. It's SQL Server 2012 step by step, but I'll send it to you if you want it. I'll really devalue it because I'm going to sign it, okay? All right. And so I want to show you this trace file that I have open so you can see how this actually works. So this one is effective user with SSRS. And so if you see right here, I'm going to zoom into this, right there, it automatically, when you check that box, it automatically says, hey, effective user, the person you're logged on as. But if you go back to the trace and look at the line, look who it connected as. In my data connection, I specified SQL Service. That's who you make the connection with, but use that person to actually go and query the queue. Okay? Same thing for PowerView. Here's one for PowerView. Same thing. Then I said, I got a little adventurous. I know this is a little off topic, but I said, what about SQL Server? What if I go do the same thing for a relational data source that has the same model and I pass the username, but I need to know who the user is, right? And so in reporting services, I did it, and look what it does. It's really interesting for me. Maybe I'm just a weirdo. Set user at impersonated user to me. If you go right before, I was like, but it's running as me already. But it logs in as the SQL Service account, and then it sets it to run under the context of me for SQL Server. So not only can you do this with a queue, you can do this with a relational database also, if you check that box. Check it. Now, PowerView doesn't work against relational databases, okay? PowerView and SharePoint works against PowerPivot, Tabular, and multidimensional. In Excel, it only works against Tabular and PowerPivot. Sorry, brain, I lost track of time. Okay, we got about 5 minutes left. Any questions? I've just been talking a lot. Okay, all right. So I want to show you guys something else. I think we're going to go back to the slides. Can I confidently leave that one at 300? Yeah, okay. All right. So, creating and managing roles. Where should you create the role? Data Tools, Management Studio. Data Tools. Why?
Well, if you set it on the model,
Wait, wait. You almost got a book. Hang on. That's a good point. I'm going to have to speed up a little bit. So you're absolutely correct. If I process it again, I'll override it. But there's something you can use so you won't override it. The deployment wizard. I'm sorry? Give me your address. All right. So what about, and even more importantly, who knows how to write DAX? The person administering the server or the developer? The developer. So you probably create it there. Now, where do you add the people to the roles at? The people that's included. Management Studio. That guy probably knows about who should have access and stuff. The developer doesn't know anything about that. It's either here or there. Yes, sir? Groups. You can do groups. Is that what you're asking? So the question was, does it always have to be an individual user? No. You can do groups also. But because when you connect, you're in that group. Okay? So he was asking, how does the effective username know? It's just how Active Directory behaves, right? Even though you add a group, when you connect, it's under the context of you, not that group. I had to learn that, right? Because I said, this is not going to work. It does work. It just works. Okay? All right. And so the deployment wizard, not going to have time to show it, but if you don't use the deployment wizard, use the deploy. Don't right-click on Manage Studio and deploy if you have a lot of roles in it. You can, and partitions that you're not processing. There's options there that you can specify and say, go ahead and deploy the changes, but persist everything that's already there. Use the deployment wizard. I use it a lot. And I introduced this to my customer. How many of you guys know about the deployment wizard? Yeah, not everybody, right? Use the deployment wizard. And so I won't go into that. I think that's more of a 200 level one. Maybe even 100 level, but I can't put it at 100. I refuse to put it at a 100 level because somebody knew. All right. What about monitoring and managing security? Who's logging into it? Who's connecting to it? Is that built into the Tabular model? Can't do anything. I don't know who's logging in. I don't know what's going on. They're just accessing my cube. Right? What about failed logins? I don't know, right? So the profiler is great for doing this, especially if you do a server-side trace. Don't do like me and open the GUI up and keep the GUI running. It'll crash your server. What's even better, though, is extended events. I actually talked to the product team about this a little bit, and I said, which one, you know, should we discuss? And they go, well, we're moving to extended events, but the profiler is still going to be there for the Tabular model. And I go, okay, so which one gives me the best performance? And you know what they said? Kind of doesn't matter, as long as you do it on the server side. Okay? So because I want to be cool, like everybody else using extended events, I want to use extended events. Everybody else is jumping off of mountains, I'm going to jump off the mountain. All right? So last demo, and I'll show you guys this, and you guys will get a copy of all this code that's in here. Come on, Management Studio. Let's open this up. And let's go to the Tabular model. Oh, thank you. Almost made it without messing it up again. Okay. And a lightweight extended event trace. And so this is not as simple. You know, when you go to the profile, you open it up, choose the events, go down, say script off. Yeah, that doesn't happen for this, for extended events. You actually need to type this out. Fortunately, there is I'm going to give you a script that contains every possible event, and you just comment the ones out that you don't want. That is not courtesy of me. That's courtesy of an MVP who wrote it. I forget his name. Phenomenal guy. It's at the bottom of the script, so if you want to go read his blog, I give everybody credit, okay? Just click the link and read his blog. He explains how to set it up. There's a part of it at the top that you need to add, that little section up here. You need to make sure you add this stuff. I have no idea what it means, but you need to add it. no idea. You need to add it. Okay, there you go. I just learned. What is it again? Let's add it. Oh, yeah, okay. There we go. And we probably shouldn't put that right there because it doesn't look like this has the same. Oh, I got to put the fancy thing. All right, let's take this away. I don't want to mess anything up. Yeah, that's too much. Too much. You can see I typed that right there. Anyway, so here's your events, right? Very similar to the profiler. You give it a name. You want to tell it the maximum amount of memory to use. And there's another one. Where is that guy? Ah, the event size right there. The other stuff, go read about them. Kind of interesting. But the money right here is the events. And so you can see I have a couple of events that I've specified. You just run that. It'll start them up. You can go, how do you view these things, right? So I copied them over to my SQL Server. And then I have a little query that allows me to query the trace file, OK? And so you need to know a little bit of XML, the T-SQL and XML functions. And you just point to that file, and then you can query these directly. So if I run this, it'll return the contents of that event trace. But I'm adventurous. I hate looking at row, comma, lists, things like this. This means nothing to me. And so what I decided to do was create a little dashboard. And instead of hanging out with Matt Mason last night, I should have been in my room finishing this up. But he just kept texting me because he wanted to hang out with me. And if you saw the power hour, you know he gets a star of one. And it means I really didn't want to hang out with him. But he was persistent, so I gave in. He was buying drinks, so I went with him. And so he actually paid for the food, too. So can't turn that down. And so what I did, have this query. And if you want to stop it, I have stuff in the trace file there. You can use this to stop the trace. I mean, there's a script here to stop the trace. But I created a little dashboard that actually reads the trace file in reporting services. And I'm almost done with it. And so you can see I have lots of connections, lots of people logging in, some errors. The errors actually show me, I couldn't find an event for failed logins. If you use errors, it shows failed logins. And it actually gives you some really good, it says, hey, this user failed to log in. And so if I wanted to see if somebody was trying to attack my server, that would be a really good place to do it. And so you guys will get this. I'm going to add a table at the bottom. So when you click one, it'll give you the details of that one. When you click 172, it'll give you a list of all 172 logins and on and on and on. And you guys will get a copy of that, and you can use it. I'm actually going to write a little blog post. This is going to be my first blog post in a year. And so I'm going to post this up and explain what I did and how I did it. Okay? And I think, let's switch. 3 minutes. So I think we met the session objectives. If we didn't, please tell me in the evaluation. If you do give me anything less than a 5, please tell me why. Don't give me all 1s, and don't tell me why you gave me all 1s. I can't improve that way. Here's the resources out there. Go get them. They're available for you. Don't complete your evaluation. I don't have the proper little QR code in my deck, so don't snap it. I think there's a machine, and you can go find it, so don't snap this right here. Not going to work to evaluate my session. I just found out about it a few minutes ago. I'm not really good at PowerPoint, like I said. But thank you guys so much. Thanks for coming out on the last day. And if you have any questions, I'll be here for a few minutes.